My guest at this time is Georgia Republican Congressman Phil Gingrey. He represents the Peach State's 11th Congressional District and is now in his 6th House term. He is, however, not running for re-election to that seat. He is a candidate for the Republican nomination to the U.S. Senate following the announcement from outgoing Republican Senator Saxby Chambliss that he will not be seeking another term in the U.S. Senate. It's a very crowded Republican primary field with 8 candidates seeking the nomination come May. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, thank you. Glad to be with you.
Thanks for your time today. As I mentioned, it's a pretty crowded field. So given the 7 other Republicans you're running against here, what's your main message to the Republican voters at this point in Georgia? What makes you the best candidate out of this group?
Well, it's a great question. I'm asked that many times in debate format and also in radio and TV clips. And it is a job application, Greg, and I'm going before the voters, not 700,000 this time, but 10 million in the state of Georgia. So it's a big deal, and obviously they want to know that. They want to know what the difference is. And I try to stress that, first and foremost, I am not a career politician, even though this is my 12th year in the United States House of Representatives. I am a career physician. I practiced for 32 years before I began my career as a public servant. And I have been blessed working both at the local level on a school board, a community school board, in the state assembly, 4 years in the Senate, and now almost 12 years in the House of Representatives. I think that resume for this job shows that I'm uniquely qualified for it, and I think that puts me a little bit ahead of my opponents.
Well, you mentioned your many years as a physician, and in one of your earliest ads in this campaign, you made a pretty bold promise. If I can quote from the ad, it says, "As a doctor, I took an oath to do no harm, and Obamacare is so harmful, I voted to repeal it or defund it over 40 times, but our efforts die in the Senate. I'll help repeal Obamacare in the first term or go home because you deserve a senator who gets the job done or gets out of the way. Repeal or go home, that's my pledge to you." What's your plan to do that if elected?
Well, a lot of people get elected to Congress, and sometimes part of their pledge is a term limit pledge, 1, 2, 3 terms, you name it. And there's no accountability. It's just kind of a look, I can go up there and be a potted plant, and if you'll let me, I'll stay 2 terms and I'll come home. I'll stay 3 terms talking to the Senate. But this is different, Greg. This is an accountability pledge. This is a putting skin in the game and telling the people that I represent from Georgia that I'll get up every day. And that will be my job, and that will be to get rid of Obamacare and replace it. And we need to take over the Senate, obviously, this year, and we need to get the presidency in 2016. Otherwise, it would be immensely difficult to get that done in one term. But if we do get the presidency in the Senate and hold on to the House, I've got 4 more years to get this done. And I've got people like, even though Tom Coburn will be gone, that I'm sorry to say, and I hope that his health remains strong, but people like John Barrasso and Richard Burr and Orrin Hatch and others that now have a bill, a good bill, a replacement bill that I can get behind. And so I think we can get it done. I think the Georgia 10 million citizens understand that, and they realize that I'm working for them, and I have the experience as a physician, and I have experiences as a member of Congress. I know how to get things done.
You mentioned resume a little while ago and how your experience in the medical profession and at various other forms of service throughout your career uniquely prepare you for this role. Let's talk records a little bit, specifically, I guess, amongst you and the other 2 members of the House, since those are the most comparable records, Congressman Brown, Congressman Kingston. What do you see as your strengths there, and where do you think that their records perhaps expose them as not being the best choice?
Well, Paul Brown and Jack Kingston are friends of mine. I've served with them, Jack for 11 and a half years, Paul for about 5 years. They're both conservatives. Paul is maybe a little bit further to the right than Attila the Hun, or certainly than Jack. And I find myself a little bit right in the middle, right where the people of Georgia want me to be. And these issues that will come up in my first term, and while I spend my career, the rest of my career in the Senate, are all about the economy and getting rid of all this debt and deficit and stop spending $1 trillion more each year than you bring in revenue and lower the tax rate. And of course, the biggest job killer of all, Greg, is Obamacare. We're going to find that out more and more as time goes on. We're already finding it out, but boy, wait till next year when the health insurance carriers have to adjust their premiums and raise their deductibles even more than they are now. So, you know, a lot of people say, well, there's not a lot of daylight among the three of you who are serving in Congress. I think there's enough that people can clearly look at the three of us. Obviously, some of it style, some of it is what we call curb appeal, the ability to get along but stand strong on your principles at the same time, not throw bombs, not be too strident, and that's the kind of senator that I want to be.
Congressman Brown, who you mentioned is to the right of you, says one of the reasons that he believes he's the best choice is because he's the most consistent conservative. He says he's the only one of the three House members that hasn't voted for a debt ceiling hike at some point. He says both you and Congressman Kingston were fond of earmarks when those were available in the House of Representatives, and he says that you told him at one point that expansion of Medicare through Part D and the prescription drug plan was one of your most proud votes. What would you say in response to him?
Well, you know, if we're talking about private conversations between one-on-one, I've had a number of private conversations one-on-one with Paul. I had a number of private conversations with Jack. Those are not things that I think people should talk about if it is indeed a private conversation. But look, I'm not an appropriator. I haven't been in Congress but half the amount of time Congressman Kingston has been. He has touted the fact that he has given $1.3 million back to the Treasury in the aggregate over 22 years. Well, I've given $1.2 trillion back to the Treasury in the aggregate of 11 and a half years. So essentially, I've given twice as much back. So we're fiscally frugal and sound and solid, and I don't take a backseat to anybody on that. And certainly in regard to earmarks, as you know, when I was first elected, this was long before Paul got there, there was something called the Gephardt Rule. And there was never a vote taken on the House side in regard to the debt ceiling. It was a little bit smoke and mirrors. And when I finally found out and realized what happened, then I didn't vote for any debt ceilings, and I won't. And in fact, my line in the sand is dollar for dollar, pay for a debt ceiling increase, or if we prefer, and I do prefer, pass in the House and the Senate a balanced budget amendment and submit that to the states, then I would consider voting for an increase in the debt ceiling limit.
We're talking with Georgia Republican Congressman Phil Gingrey. He has been a member of the House for six terms. He is now a candidate for the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate in the state of Georgia. While with all due respect to all eight Republicans in the field who have chosen to put their hat in the ring, most of the early polling suggests that it's probably a four-person race. The three of you that are in the House, along with former Secretary of State Karen Handel, her big argument, of course, is that the three of you have been in Washington, so you're quote-unquote part of the problem, and she's the outsider who can bring a fresh perspective. You, of course, have just articulated that you've been there fighting against a lot of what the current president's tried to do and for you know, market principles and so forth. What do you say in response to her?
Well, Karen is a formidable opponent. She, of course, ran, as you know, for governor last time, and I would presume that had she won that race, she'd be running for re-election as governor. She served a term on the Fulton County Commission. Before that, she was an executive director of a chamber of commerce. it sounds very much like to me that she's tried to be a career politician. It just hadn't worked out for her. But I have had both experience, again, as a servant leader at the local, state, and federal level. But it's a second career for me. My career, and I still have an active medical license, I am a medical doctor first and foremost. So while Karen is a formidable opponent, as the other two that you mentioned, and there indeed is another, there may be not four of us, but five of us, and only two can get in that runoff, and it'll be me and somebody else. And quite honestly, at this point, I don't care who the other person is. I'm just going to row my own boat and let the people of Georgia know what they have in Phil Gingrey and Dr. Gingrey, and that he is the most conservative candidate in this race who can win in November.
Last question. There were some recent polling out from PPP, which clearly leans left in how they conduct their survey, but for the most part, they showed all of you pretty much in the same spot within the margin of error against Michelle Nunn, who's the likely Democratic nominee. So even though both seats have been Republican for a while in Georgia, this is looking like a pretty competitive general election once one of you finally emerges from that likely runoff in July. Why do you believe you're the best to match up against Michelle Nunn? You just mentioned you're the most electable conservative in this field. Why do you think you'd match up best against her?
Well, if you look at that poll, and that was public polling policy, a public policy polling out of North Carolina, a Democratic polling firm, I think polling primarily to make sure that the numbers made Michelle Nunn look as good as possible and still be have some credibility to their poll. This weighting, as you point out, there were more women than men in the poll, and who knows, but I think when you look at it real carefully, I stack up better in their poll even against Michelle Nunn than any of the other Republicans. But Greg, the main thing to keep in mind, and for your listeners to keep in mind, Georgia is a very red state. We control the governorship, lieutenant governorship, every constitutional elected official. We almost have a super majority in the House and the Senate. This is not the state of Georgia is a great state, good diversity. Demographics may be changing a little bit, but the Democrats have really very little chance in November. I'm not taking anybody lightly, and of course, Ms. Nunn, I'm sure, is a great lady, but this seat is going to be held by we the Republicans, and I know the people in Washington are watching it very closely, and they know, I think at this point, they know who the most conservative Republican is that can hold this seat. And that's Phil Gingrey.
And for more information about Congressman Gingrey's campaign for the U.S. Senate or to become part of it and perhaps donate if you'd like to, Gingrey.com is the website, Gingrey.com. Congressman, it's been a pleasure to talk through the issues with you over the years in Congress, and we look forward to catching back up with you on the campaign trail as we get closer to Election Day.
Craig, thank you so much for giving me that opportunity.
Absolutely. Georgia Republican Congressman Phil Gingrey represents his state's 11th congressional district, now candidate for the U.S. Senate in Georgia. The primary is May 20th. The runoff would be in July. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.